We are thankful to the Lord for the privilege of sharing with you another Way of Truth broadcast. This broadcast service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America, and this is Alvin A. Craig inviting you to stay with us as we bring you the gospel on today's Way of Truth broadcast.
As a child, turn God away, not knowing the heartache a sinner must face. But God, in His goodness, has let me return to share.
Farther than you want to go. Slowly but wholly taking control. Sin will leave you longer than you want to stay. Cost you far more than you want today.
So with pleasure and promises, sin took control, leaving me dying with nothing.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of sharing the gospel with this precious people today. We're trusting that wherever our service is reaching, the Holy Spirit will accompany it and will make it a blessing to each heart. Though the congregation is unseen to us, we know that you see everyone, and you know their needs, whether it be a physical need or a spiritual need or otherwise. And we're asking Thee, in Your love and mercy and compassion, to minister to our congregation, for we know that You are a God of love. Although sin, wickedness, and evil is on every hand, we know that there is a God in heaven who is a loving God, a heavenly Father that is compassionate and cares for Your people. So bless our congregation today and bless this broadcast to the hearts of each one, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
All the labor, all the more.
Our subject for this broadcast, He That Sins Wrongs His Own Soul. And our text of Scripture is Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 36. And it reads like this, But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. It would seem that many people really do not have an understanding as to just how costly and destructive sin is. This verse does not express the common mode of thinking about sin. The common mode is to think of it as an injury to God. Here, on the contrary, the horror of sin is said to be an injury to me, to you. Of course, every sin is a sin against God. And we can sin against our fellow man, and we can sin against ourselves. But every transgression of the law of God is sin against God. But I want to emphasize the thought of this text of Scripture today, which declares that we sin against ourselves. He that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. A child disobeys its father, and it gets hurt. The child is the one that is injured. And we could use that example again and again in regard to things. But God's decrees are paternal, for our good, in other words. The Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive, as it is at this day. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 24. And so God's commands, another scripture tells us that God's commands are not grievous. And this passage of scripture tells us that the Lord's commandments, his statutes, are for our good. And to transgress the commandments of the Lord, to disobey the word of God, is going to be detrimental and harmful to us, because obeying them are to our good, and natural follows that to disobey them would be to our hurt and to our harm. Why are you forbidden to hate? Because hate destroys you. It destroys your soul. To hate someone in God's sight is as if you murdered them. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 15. Now, of course, to murder someone, you end their life, you destroy their life. But notice what the Apostle John has said here, that whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. So it is an act not only against another person, ending their life, but it is also destructive to your own life. For no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. You do not have God's approval on your life. Rather, you are obeying Satan and doing his bidding and his will. Now, John is not saying here that God could not forgive a murderer of that sinful act, but it is a thing that certainly proves and shows that you do not have God and you do not have spiritual life. And so this is against you. Whenever you hate someone, it's destructive to you as well as to someone else. Why are you forbidden to be jealous? Well, because jealousy makes you resentful and suspicious of a rival. An example of this is Saul and David. When after David had slew the giant, and the Israelite army returned from the battle, the women cried out that Saul had slain thousands, and David had slew the 10,000s. And of course, when Saul heard the women saying that, giving more credit to David than to him, he became very jealous of David. And if you know the story, you know that Saul resented David so much and became so jealous and bitter against him that he tried to kill him on more than one occasion. He even took an army and was searching for David in an effort to kill him. And so jealousy destroys a person and is detrimental and harmful to them as well as to others. And there are other examples besides Saul and David that could be given. Why are you forbidden to be selfish? Too much concern with one's own welfare or interests and having little or no concern for others, self-centered. That is a definition of selfishness. Too much concern with one's own welfare or interests, and having little or no concern for others, self-centered. And of course, we are disobeying the Word of God that tells us that we are to love our neighbor as ourself. And so it is an act of disobedience to Almighty God. But in it being an act of disobedience to Almighty God, it is also detrimental and harmful to the one who is jealous. You know, jealousy has broken up more than one marriage. Yes, one of the companions jealous and suspicious of others, and it has been the end results of marriages more than one time. So it is causes you to be suspicious of others and causes you to act in ways that is contrary to the teachings of God's Word, contrary to loving your neighbor as yourself. Why are you forbidden to be covetous? Not to be greedy. Covetousness is idolatry. Did you know that? Did you know that covetousness was just the same as you worshiping some idol? Yes, that's what the Word of God teaches. Notice this passage of Scripture out of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And this scripture in Colossians 3 and 5 is not the only verse of scripture that tells us that covetousness is idolatry. And so whenever people are covetous, it's just the same as those in ancient times who had statues that they bowed before and worshiped, idol gods. We may not think about it in that light, but that is what the Word of God teaches, and we must accept the Word of God, for it is true. Why are you not to love the world? The Apostle John said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away with the affections and lusts thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So why are you not to love the world? Well, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. And you are loving something that's going to pass away and will cease to exist. And whenever you pass from this life, you will leave all these earthly things behind. What we need to do is to obey the Scriptures that tells us to set our affection on things above and not on the things of this earth. For Jesus taught us that where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. So if our treasures are the material things of this world. That's where our heart and that's where our affections are going to be. And as John said, the world passeth away with the affections and lusts thereof. But if you set your affections on things above and you seek to please the Almighty God, you're going to have treasures that will be enduring forever, everlasting life. Why are we not to fellowship the unfruitful works of darkness? Well, let's look at the Word of God as recorded for us by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And I'll begin reading with verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath Christ with, or what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. If we have fellowship with the wrong thing, we will be a partaker of the wrong thing. If we sympathize, or if we put our approval upon that which is wrong, we become a partaker of that wrong. And the Word of God here tells us that we are to have no fellowship with these works of darkness and the things that Paul mentioned here in this letter. A verse of Scripture does say, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We are also told in the book of Revelation that we are not to fellowship false religion. Rather, we are to come out of Babylon, which is false religion. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. And so we are not to fellowship the unfruitful works of darkness. And if you find yourself in some false sectarian religion, according to this passage of Scripture, you need to come out of it, not have no fellowship with it, and stand for the truth, stand for the gospel in its purity and in its holiness. And so we are not to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Rather, we are to reprove them. Now, why are you commanded to love? Because God is love. Because love is liberty. True love is freedom from all hate, malice, envy, and strife. It is the greatest. For the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13:13, faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Yes, it is wonderful to have faith, and you must have faith if you're going to please God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. And of course, hope is a very precious thing. What a life it would be to try to live in this world without hope. But the saved, the redeemed, have hope, not only in this life, but in the world to come. But Paul says, faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest is love. I read the First Corinthians 13 from time to time to refresh my mind with what Paul said here in regard to what love will do and what love will not do. It's good to refer to that chapter from time to time and keep it before you. Now, we read in Proverbs chapter 14 and 9, the first part of verse 9, fools make a mock at sin. Fools make a mock at sin. And there was a comedian some years ago that made a joke out of the devil made me do it. But beloved, sin is not a joke. And doing what the devil bids you to do is not a joke. It is indeed very, very costly. All that hate me love death. So our text of scripture says in Proverbs 8 and 36. All that hate me love death. So sin brings death, spiritual death, eternal death. The Father's commands breaks the bands of sin and makes you free. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Yes, Jesus Christ is seeking sinful men. He came into this world to seek and to save the lost. They criticized him for eating with sinners and publicans and so forth. But he said, I didn't come to call the righteous to repentance. I came to call sinners. And if there had been no sinners on the earth, there would have been no reason for Jesus Christ to come. And so you can be saved today, if you're not, because you are a sinner. And Jesus Christ came to seek and to save the lost. And beloved, when he saves you, he sets you free from sin. You are no longer a sinner, and you do not continue a life of sin. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Free from what? Free from sin. Free from the love of the world. Free from hatred and malice and envy and strife. Free from all that Satan would saddle you with. What a wonderful master we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do not have him today as your master, then you have Satan as your master. And I'd like to encourage you to get rid of that cruel, hateful, and despiteful master and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord, your Savior, and your master. The greatest horror of sin of all is eternal death. For when you arrive at the judgment bar of God, if your name is not written in the Lamb's book of life, you shall be cast into the lake of fire. So we are told in Revelation chapter 20. So, beloved, sin will indeed take you further than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. And it will cost you more than you want to pay. It will cost your eternal soul. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll bless these thoughts and scriptures to the hearts and lives of our precious congregation today. May your Spirit move and work, and may you deal with souls. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you, and we do trust that it has proven to be a blessing. If so, we encourage you to write us and let us know. Our mailing address, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net. truth@fred.net. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. www.wayoftruth.org. We invite you to be with us in our services. Our Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11, and our evening service begins at 6. And our services are broadcast live over the Internet, and you can join us. Again, our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for listening to our broadcast service today. We invite you to tune in this station next week when again, the Lord willing, we'll be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast. And until then, may the blessings of heaven rest and abide upon each and every one of you, is our sincere prayer.
Sing the Lord.